The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
We are learning about the building of the Mishkan of the sanctuary. Vayas esakio nechoshes, beiska nechoshes, and they may, you shall make the fountain from copper, and its base of the fountain from copper. The mares hatzobos asher tzovu el moed. From the maros. What are maros? Maros are now tzovos asher tzovu. That's a difficult word to translate. Pesach ohel moed means that we're brought to the front of the ohel moed of the Mishkan. So we were commanded, Moshe was commanded, he commanded the people that they should make the fountain based from the copper, which is to be made from copper, from the mirrors. Pesach el Moed, and the fountain was placed in front of the Ohel Moed. Now the question, what does it mean? Hatzo'ovos asher tzovu. Now generally that word tzovos means a great gathering, masses, a congregation. For example, tzva hachomayim Hashem tzavokes. This refers to the tzva hachomayim. These are the great multitudes in the heavens. We refer to the suns, the moons, the stars, the planets, as an enormous multitude of the heavens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem Tzavokis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God with his great multitudes. Sar HaTzova, a general is called a general of an army. Tzva, because it's a great multitude. What does it mean here? In the Gur Ayeh, said the simple meaning would be that it refers to the women, because the Chazal tell us that who brought these bearers? The women. That the women who brought the mirrors, they congregated in great numbers at the opening of the Mishkan. They came in great numbers with all of these mirrors. So it would read as follows. V'yaseh sakior ha-nechoshes v'yizkanei nechoshes. You should make the fountain of copper and the base of copper, the mares, with the mirrors. Atzevos asher tzovu, which great numbers of women congregated when they brought the mirrors. Pesach ohel moed, at the opening of the ohel moed of the Mishkan. However, the Chazal, Darshan, they expound this pasuk differently. And this is in the Medrash Tanhuma. And Rashi brings this. It does not refer to the women, but rather it refers to the great multitude of to the great multitude of children that they produced in Egypt because of these mirrors. And therefore the pasuk would read as follows. Vayas esakio nechoshes v'yizkanei nechoshes. That you shall make the fountain out of copper and the base out of copper. Bimares, with the mirrors. Hatzeves hatzova os hasher tzovu, which through these mirrors great multitudes of children were born. Pesach ohel moed, the mirrors and the fountain which will be brought, which will be the mirrors and the fountain that will be made from it, in the front of the Mishkan. There's a story behind all of this. This is in the Medrash Tanchuma. Rashi brings it, but let me quote it from the Medrash Tanchuma, because there are a number of changes, of differences between what we have and what Rashi brings. This is found in Medrash Tanchuma, not in Parshas Vayakel, but rather in Parshas Pekudei, in Ostes. Ela Pekudei Amishkon. There everything is accounted for. Unecheshe Satanufa. And all of the gold is counted, and all of the silver is counted. States Unecheshe Satanufa, and the copper brought. Actually, the Medrash starts by saying Unecheshe Hatanufa, Nechoshes HaKalosh. This refers to the Nechoshes, the copper of the Kalah. Shekein Beloshen Bilshein Yovan Kedin Lekala Ninfe. Because in Greek, a Kalah is referred to as the word Ninfe, which comes from the word Tanufa. Now, what does this have to do with a Kalah? Atomaiti Beshosho Yisrael Baveris Perek B'Mitzrayim. When Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. And there they were put to slave labor, very, very difficult labor, perech shemafarche et haguf, labor that breaks a person. If you recall what brought on the slave labor, so the Torah tells us that Pare became not only frightened but terrified. Beginning in the Parsha Shemos, it states, "Ubnei Yisrael poru v'yitzutzu v'yirbu v'yatzmu v'od mi'od." The Bnei Yisrael multiplied. Then it states v'yitzutzu, which means they further multiplied. And then it states v'yirbu. This is in both sides in the beginning of Shemos. Vayirbu, which means they further multiplied, vayatzmu, and they became stronger and stronger. And then it states v'maod me'od. Generally the Torah doesn't speak this way. Me'od means exceedingly. Another time me'od, more exceedingly. Yimalei ha'aretz osam. The land filled up with them. They came down as a family of 70 people. By this time they were millions. Millions upon millions. Because we must remember that only one-fifth went out, four-fifths remained. And of the ones that went out, there were 600,000 men between 20 and 50. This doesn't count the people that were older, this doesn't count the women, and this does not count all of the children that they were having in huge numbers. Vayokam melechodesh al Mitzrayim. And a new king stood up over Mitzrayim, asher lo yada es Yosef, v'ayim el amo, hinei am b'nei Yisrael, rabu otzum imenu. He said, the nation of Israel, and they multiplied so much that they are more and stronger than us. And they came as guests, and now they're taking over. Hovan ischak malay, pen yir bevayik isikrena milchome, v'naisaf gam hu al seminu, v'nilchambon v'olam in oretz. We better do something. We better design a strategy, because if not, what happens if there's a war and they side with the enemy? They will take over and drive us out of the land. So therefore they went and they subjected them to slave labor. And they had them build great store cities for Pare. But the Kashe Yanoito came Yirba came Yifros. But this didn't help, because the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied. They Akutim Ibn Israel, and they became thorns in the eyes of Egypt because of Bnei Israel. Ba'avidu Mitzrayim is Bnei Israel Beforech. So they increased the slave labor, and they gave them labor which breaks a person. And so forth. Asher avdu behem beforech, and one decree after another decree. So, because of the enormous numbers that in such a short span of time they were growing into, Pari became terrified. Now the Medrash tells us, when Israel was subjected to this very, very difficult labor in Mitzrayim, Pari decreed that they have to sleep in the fields, the men, and not to go home to their wives, because he was afraid that they would multiply even further. Omer Reb Shimon Chalafto. So Reb Shimon Chalafto said, Maho Yibanei Yisrael Osas. So what did the daughters of Israel do? Yodus Lishay Maim Min Ayor. They went to draw water from the river. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hayah Mazmin Lahem Dogim Ketanim B'Sei Kadehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would make it occur that when they would draw the water, their jugs would fill up with a lot of small fish. Behin meichres, levashles mehem, beleiches mehem, yain. And with that fish, they would go, and they would sell some of it, get money. Others, they would cook. And with the money, they would buy wine and other good things. Vahochas lasoda, they would go to the fields. Umachilais es baalein shom, there they would go to their husbands. And they would give them from the fish that they cooked and give them from the wine. As it states, Bechol Aveidah Basodeh, it states that Klal Yisrael was laboring in the field. Now certainly Pari won't give them what to eat and what to drink, and certainly not good things. Later on he won't even give them straw to make the bricks. Mishohoya Ochlin Vishosin, after they drank, and after they ate and drank, Neitle Samares, then they would take out their copper mirrors. Umabites Behenim Baalehem, and they would look into the mirrors together with their husbands. Zei Samares Aninoa Mimcho, Zei Mer Aninoa Mimech. She would say, I am more beautiful than you, and he would say, I am more handsome than you. Umitei Kachoya Magilen Atzmon Lidei Taibu Forim Verovin. And this way they would arouse the desires of their husbands. And through this, the women, would come to have many children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu poked in la'alta. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that they would conceive immediately. Rabbi Seina Imrim Yesh Ben Yoldish Naim V'Vasachas. Now this is where the Chazal come to say, how did they multiply so quickly? Some would have two at a time. Yeshem im shisha bekeretz achat. Others would say they would have six at a time. Yeshem im shneim also bekeretz achat. Others say that they even had 12 at a time. And if you calculate, you have to, because we said they grew from a family of 70 into a nation of millions. And they were not in Egypt that long of a time, in which they could grow that quickly from 70. Then they were there altogether 210 years. Then it states Bishus also Nahmaris Shayam Maris Levahalehan Umagilenation Lidata Mitekha Perech Hamidu Kol Atsavaus Namar Yotsu Kol Tres Hashemeris Mitzray. What is Borhu? Took out Klal Yisrael, so it states Be'etzem Ayem Azeh, on that very day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for, the 15th of Nisan, that night he came through Egypt and he destroyed all of the firstborn, from Pare's son to the lowest firstborn of the lower Shifcha, and he brought all of the plagues. So it states Yotzu Kol Tzivos Hashem Eretz Mitzrayim, and that day all of the Tzivos, all of the multitudes that belonged to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, went out of Egypt. And it states Hotzi Hashem Es Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim Al Tzivosam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Bnei Yisrael out of Egypt, all of their multitudes. Now, who were these tzavos? Who were these multitudes? These were the children that were born from this story that we are reading. So it was the mirrors that caused these multitudes. Kivan Shab Omar. So now later on, when they were in the desert and it came time to build the Mishkan, Kivan Shomale Akorish Boch Lemaisha Lasis is a Mishkan. Omdu Kol Yisrael Minisnadu. Mishevi Kesev, Mishevi Zov, Anachoshis, Vab Nishayim, Vab Nimloim. Moshe said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a sanctuary, wants a place to live. Whoever wants to come and help build and contribute, let him come forward. So the men came with the silver and the gold, and they brought copper, they brought precious stones, and they brought white away. Omru Anoshim, the women said, what can we bring? The men have brought everything already. What can we bring? They went and they gathered their copper mirrors. They came with their copper mirrors to Moshe. When Moshe saw the copper mirrors, he became angry. Moshe said, mirrors, how can you bring that to the Mishkan, to the sanctuary? Mirrors are important, but the place is not in the sanctuary, in the Mishkan. Moshe said to Moshe, al elu atom evaze. And these you scorn. Hamare so elu heimeamidu kol atzvaos halolo b'mitzroyim. It was through these mirrors that they produced the armies of Israel. Tul mehem, take them. Actually, Rashi has a girsa that elu chavivin olai mikulam. This is more dear to me than all of the other contributions. Take them and make from them the kiyo nechoshes, the copper. And the fountain had to be made out of copper. Make the kiyo nechoshes v'kanai, the fountain and its base, v'kahanim. For the kahanim, shemimenu yemiskachi nakahanim. What was the fountain used for? The fountain was used to wash the hands and the feet of the kahanim, which was called kiddush adayim raglayim, sanctification of their hands and feet. Shinemar vayas eisakir nechoshes veiskanai nechoshes b'maris atzovas asher tzov. And this is what the pasuk that we read, that they made the copper fountain and its base from the mirrors. Now what is the word tzovas asher tzov? Not the women that gathered in great numbers, but from these mirrors came the armies, the multitudes. That's why it states the Medrash says Nechoshes Hatenufa Shivim Kiko Nechoshes Hakalis. That's why they were called the copper of the kalos, of the color. The Gemara in Sota, first paragraph, Yud Aleph, Reish Amud Beis, brings a similar story. And there it elaborates. And elaborates in many, many details of the fish that they caught, and what they did with it, and what happened to the children. The children were born in the sod and the fields, and what happened to them, and so forth and so on. We won't go into the entire story, but there's two points, two very, very vital points that it adds. Dorish Rav Aviru b'skar noshim tzidkoniyeh shohoye ba'eis ha'ador nigo'alu Yisrael b'mitzrayim. That it was through the reward of the righteous women that were in that generation, Klal Yisrael were redeemed from Egypt. And then it goes on to tell the story. But secondly, what it brings, it says that these children had to be born and left in the fields. Why? Because the Egyptian soldiers were looking for them to kill them. And they were brought up in the fields. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent malachim, angels, to take care of them. Ukishenigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu alayam, and then they would only come back when they were older. Ukishenigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu alayam, heimi kiruhu tchila, shenema ze keli va'anvehu. Then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea, Moshe saying, Gosh Roshia, he said, Ze keli va'anvehu. This is my God, and I shall beautify him. It was these children, they grew up by that time, were the ones who recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu before anyone else. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself had to take care of these children. So what is the Gemara adding to it? This is not just the case where they produced many children, but it states Bishar Noshim Tzitkon Yeshayi Baisidor in Nigolu Yisrael Mitzrayim, that it was because of these women we were redeemed from Egypt. This could mean, this is what it seems from Chazal, that we wouldn't have been redeemed from Egypt until there was a generation that was roi, that was fit to be redeemed. And they produced this generation. Secondly, and this was through their methods that they produced this generation. Secondly, this wasn't a case of mere quantity, which is a great mitzvah. Meshevah Shitzora, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, the mitzvah to multiply. I didn't create the world that it should be desolate. Mitzvah Rabbah, the Gemara says, it's one of the greatest mitzvahs to produce children. But the Gemara doesn't merely say they produced quantity of what we see that they did, enormous quantity, but also b'nei mailos, the quality, because these were the ones that said ze keli v'anvehu. The Gemara tells us ro alayom ma shelo ro yecheskel ben buzi, those that said ze keli v'anvehu, they were able to see more than our greatest prophet, Yecheskel ben Buzi, who saw the throne and the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he couldn't point his finger and say, Zeh. They could. So not only through this, that they were merited to produce multitudes, Tzavos, called Tzivos Hashem, but also a level, a generation with a level that could be brought out of Egypt, that could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, take these mirrors, I want them. Now let's analyze this a bit. What did the women see in the mirrors that Moshe didn't see? Because Moshe rejected them. And evidently they saw something that Moshe didn't see. And of course Baruch Hu agreed with the women. Secondly, second question is, why did it end up that these mirrors were used for the Kiyor V'Kanri, the copper fountain for the Kanri? Moshe saw in the mirrors, that's easy to understand. Like Rashi says, the mirrors are suin le yetzahara. Mirrors are made to utilize or be utilized with the yetzahara. They're made for gaiva v'yefi haguf. They're made for vanity. They're made for physical beauty. They're also made for pitoy v'tayves haguf. They're made for physical desires and seduction. Now, it is very true, they're necessary. It's necessary for kima olam, to sustain the world. This is an imperative. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said when, after the creation of the world, he said, "Vihine tov mi'od." He saw what he created and it was tov mi'od. And the Chazal say tov, say yetzer hatov. That's the good that's placed in the people. Tov mi'od, say yetzer hara. Tov mi'od is the yetzer hara which is placed in the people, because we need the yetzer hara. Mora says, without a yetzer hara, a person won't want to go to work. What should he go to work for? Make money, what for? Has no yetzer hara to make money, so it's better to stay home, put his feet up, and become a loafer. You tell him, well, you don't have money, you won't be able to dress up nicely. So what do I have to dress up nicely for? I have no desire to dress up. Well, you won't be able to buy good food. He says, I have no appetite for food. You won't buy a nice home. He says, I'll live in a shack. This is what the Gemara says. Person without a yetzer hara, he'll be a vagrant. This is a vagrant. He can live on the street. It's the yetzer hara that drives the person. He wants nice clothing. He wants to look nice. He wants tasty food. He wants a nice home. He wants a nice car. So he knows he's got to work for it. And that's what keeps the world moving. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Tov ze yetzer tov, tov mi'od ze yetzer hara. Without the yetzer hara, the world would stop. So therefore, Maisha said, these mirrors, asuin le yetzer hara, this is the product of the yetzer hara, they're necessary. It's an imperative. But not le meitz al mishkan. What, you would bring them in the shul? You wouldn't even bring them in a shul, yet alone the Mishkan Hashem, the sanctuary. They have their place. Their place is in the bedroom. But he says, what, the women are coming to bring them to the Mishkan Hashem? Are they out of their minds? Their place was the Ohel Moed. The fountain was right before the Ohel Moed. This is the sanctuary of Hashem. He said, take them back home. Don't bring them here. That's what Maisha saw in them. It was a good keshba. But the women saw differently. What did they see? They saw many things in the mirrors. First of all, they saw that through these mirrors, they were able to create a strong kesher, a strong bond between they and their husbands. That was firstly. Secondly, they saw that from this would come the Achdus HaZivug, would come a very, very strong marriage, a very strong Zivug. Now, how important is a strong marriage? Well, let's see what the Chazal tells us. The Chazal say, Ish vi ish isho, shalom b'neihem, shchina shrui b'neihem. When there's a strong marriage, then the shchina dwells with them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells with them. Not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwell with them, but his name is emblazoned on them. Because Ish is Aleph Yud Shin and Isha is Aleph Shin He. Kodesh Baruch Hu took the Yud from his name and he put it into Ish. And he took the He from his name and he put it into the Isha. And if there's an Achdus between them, a very strong unity which creates the Shalom, then there's a unity in his name. The Yud and the He are together. So the strong marriage doesn't bring only two people together. It brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name together. And he places that name in them. The Maral brings from here, he says, from here you see that marriage is not the union, of two people. But marriage is the union of the physical and of the spirit. There's a zivug, there's a union by a behema and a chay and a of. All wildlife have unions and to procreate. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't place his name on them. Doesn't bring the Shem Hashem together. So here you see, the Maral says, that marriage by Israel is not merely the coming together of two physical beings, but of two spiritual beings also. It goes through all of the madregas of the world to the Shem Hashem, and that they saw. And the Zivugim of Yisrael in particular, this unity by Yisrael, their marriages have to be in the ultimate of perfection, in the ultimate of Akdus. He writes, that's why Klal Yisrael are compared all of the time to a Yonah, the Medrash says. The Yonah was a dove. What was so special about the dove? Because when the dove loses its mate, it never takes another mate. It will never replace that mate. He says, what does that show? Because those two doves had a union which was perfect and in totality. And therefore, it's indispensable, it's irreplaceable. And that's why Klal Yisrael is compared to a dove, because that's how their unions and their marriages have to be. And then they saw further also. They didn't see in the mirrors that this is something that has to do with the Yetzer Hara. They saw the Shem Hashem in it. And then they saw further. This doesn't only fashion the bond between Ish v'Isha, man and woman, but the same Shem Hashem goes into the children that are produced from such a union. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes his name and it goes through the children. And this we see in Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Pinchas, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts to name off all of the Shvatim and the generations that came out of Egypt. He puts, for example, by Zerach Hazarchi, puts a hay in front of everyone and a yud at the end of every name to show that they came from a perfect zivug, a perfect marriage, and his name went into the children. And that's why they saw further that the children that they are producing are not only going to be great in number, but they're going to be great in Maila and Madrega, great in spiritual heights. And actually, that's what the Gemara tells us by Leah. Leah had a great desire when she made a deal with Rachel that Yaakov should come to her that evening. So it states, Vatetzei Leah. Leah went out to meet him. And from that union, the Gemara tells us, came Yisachar, who was the greatest in Torah. It says that's what comes from such a union. Now, this is what they saw. Now let's see what the contrary would be. The Hepech. Let's say that there was not a strong bond between a man and wife. So what would you have? You'd have machlekes. There would be quarrels. siluk hashalom. There would be no shalom. If there's no shalom, you have siluk hashchina. Then the shchina removes himself. The shchina says, ish vi ishtei shalom b'neihem, shchina shrui b'neihem. Ein shalom b'neihem, if there's no shalom b'neihem, the shchina removes itself. If the shchina removes itself, the Gemara says he removes his name from them. If he removes his yud from the ish and his hay from the isha, what do you have? Ish, ish, two fires. What comes from that? Comes from that a total distrust, a total disloyalty. And from there comes disloyalty and adultery. What comes from that? Korban habayis, the destruction of the home. And from there, Churban Habonim, the destruction of children. And from that, Churban Ha'am, instead of building the nation like these women did, with Kol Tzivayis Hashem, they built armies for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an army that was the Dor Shel Yetzei Mitzrayim, the generation that went out of Egypt and could say Zeh Keli Vanvehu. This would create Churban Ha'am, the destruction of the nation. If you have the destruction of the nation, you have Korban HaOlam, destruction of the world, similar to the world that we live in today. Two fires that destroy each other. So this is what they saw, and this is why the Chazal tell us that in the 210 years that Klal Yisrael were in Egypt, and then they were in a foreign land, and their husbands were subjected to slave labor, and the Goyim always said, they said, these are not the children of Yisrael, these are the children of Egyptians. Do you think that they ruled over their husbands, they did not rule over their wives also? And therefore, there was one episode of a case of adultery in the 210 years. And that episode the Torah tells us about. And that even came through an error. It was a mistaken identity of her husband. Pirsim HaKosuv. Why does the Torah tell us about that? To let us know that this was the only episode of disloyalty in the whole 210 years that Klal Yisrael were there. And the Egyptians, even though they ruled over their husbands, they never were able to conquer the women. Now, the women saw in the mirrors that the place for the mirrors was in the Mishkan, because it was through these mirrors Haminu Tzavaus Rabbim, rabbis. Through these mirrors they produced the multitudes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would enable HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring them out of Egypt. So they saw far more in the mirrors than Moshe did. Here they were greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, stop. He says, Lomu Nivza, why are you scorning over these? Kablum, remember, take them. Shem Chavivon Olai Mikulan. They are more dear to me than everything else that you have accepted. Now the question is, why did they end up in the Kiran Kamai, by the fountain? Could have ended up almost anything. There were other copper things also. We see Gimel Dvorim Matzino B'Kiyot. We see three things in the Kiran Kamai. First of all, what was its purpose? Its purpose is, the Torah tells us in Parshas Kisiso, begin in the Parshas Kisiso, Pasuk Yud Zayin, by Dabar Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Vasisa kio nechoshes, vechane nechoshes, leroxo. You shall make a fountain of copper and a base of copper to wash. Venosate soy bein ohel moed uvena mizbeach. And you shall place it between the ohel moed and between the altar. Venosate shomo moim. And you shall place in it water. Verochatsu aren uvonav mimenu. And Aaron and his sons should come and they should bathe themselves. Eshedehem besraglehem, their hands and their feet. Bevayim elohim oed, yirchatsu maim velayamusu. Whenever they come to the ohel moed, that was the Mishkan proper, not the courtyard, they must make sure to bathe their hands and feet, velayamusu, that they shall not be put to death by heaven. Because if they approach without that, then they're guilty, subject to the death penalty. Or even if they're not going into the Mishkan, but if they go into the courtyard, to the Mizbeach, to the altar, to bring something on the altar, then they must also make sure to bathe their hands and their feet. This yichatsu, that they must bathe their hands and feet, this the Chazal referred to it always as kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, not as rechitza yadayim v'raglayim, but kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. That's one point that we see by the Kiyur V'Kanei. Second point that we see by the Kiyur V'Kanei, a uniqueness. When there was a woman who acted out of discretion, under certain circumstances where there was heavy suspicion against her that she's not loyal to her husband, she's not loyal to the marriage, and the husband because of that wants to divorce her, the waters of the Kiyur V'Kanei had the powers to prove her innocence and to reunite her with her husband. That was the second uniqueness that we find by the Kiyur V'Kanei. A third uniqueness is that when this was done, part of the process was that the Kohen would write down a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name on a parchment, and he would put that parchment into the water where the waters would erase its name. Now this is something which is very strange, because it's a terrible aveda to erase HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. It's a leisaser. It's a negative commandment in the Torah. Yet here HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded that his name be written on a parchment and it becomes erased in the waters. So these were the three observations we can make on the Kiyur V'Kanei. Now, to clarify this further, we mentioned that this rechitza, the washing, the bathing of the hands and the feet, the Chazal did not refer to this as a rechitza, but rather as a kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, the sanctification. There's a rechitza, when it comes to rechitza haguf, bathing one's body, there's a rechitza that's a rechitza, and there's a rechitza that's a kiddush. There's a rechitza which is a physical bathing, but there's also a rechitza which can become a kiddush, a sanctification. What does kiddush mean? Kiddush means habdolah, to elevate, to separate and to elevate. And it's in its most usual context, it refers to separating and elevating something or someone from the physical level. This is what kiddush means in its most normal context. Now here what it means is the kahanim had to come to the mizbeach, to the altar, and they had to bring the sacrifices, and they had to go into the ohel moed, into the sanctuary. Now, everything that they worked with was purely physical. Not only was it purely physical, but it was from a very, very primary level of the physical world. For example, they would take a par is a bull. They take an isle, a ram. They would take a kevis, a sheep, to sacrifice it. Now, where do you find those things? You don't find them in the city. They're by in the farms. They didn't keep a bull in someone's backyard or someone's front yard, his garden. They would deal with chelev and dam. What would they bring on the mizbeach? They would trim off the certain fats from the animal and the blood. They would bring that on the mizbeach. They would bring a mincha. That was an offering that was made from wheat or from barley. They would bring shemen ve'yayin, oil and wine. They would bring this to a mizbeach adomeh ve'avonim, an altar which was made out of earth or stone. And even when they would go into the sanctuary itself, what was it made from? It was made from the mundane materials of this world. It was made from gold, silver, copper, wood. So, what was so special about this? The goyim have that also. They have their temples. They have their places of worship. They have their altars. They have their sacrifices. There's something special in making a sacrifice. Something special in making a temple. Goyim have that by the hordes. It was a great distinction. Because when it comes to the goyim, to the nations of the world, not only is it made, and everything that's used in it is purely from the physical world, but that's its beginning and end. Starts with the physical world and it ends with the physical world. But here in the Mishkan, starts only with the physical world. That's for sure. But it becomes the Dira of Hashem, the home of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the place of the Shekhinas Hashem. The physical level by Israel begins with the physical level. Begins with the animals, the par, the ayal, the kevis, the chelev, the dam, the gold, the silver, the tapestries. But it reaches to the unending heights of sanctification and madregos, levels in the upper worlds, to the point where it becomes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's place himself, the Shekhinas Hashem. Therefore, if you come to such a thing, you have to prepare yourself. You see, man is physical. If he's going to walk into a physical world, he doesn't need any preparation. But if he's going to walk into something which is going to take him to unending heights, so then he has to prepare himself for it. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, do not approach the Mizbeach to serve me on it without first sanctifying yourself. The Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim. Do not approach the Ohel Moed, the sanctuary, without first sanctifying yourself. Shelo Yamusu, that you should not be subject to the death penalty. And this is why the sages would refer to this as the Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, the sanctification of the hands. This was not, sometimes you can wash your hands and it's at a physical level, it begins at a physical level and it ends at a physical level. This was the washing of one's hands and feet that began at a physical level, but it reached into the higher spiritual levels, and therefore he was prepared, the Kohanim were prepared to go further. Now, if we give further thought to this, we will see that this is exactly the same when it comes to the Zivugim Shel Yisrael, to the marriages of Israel. It starts at the levels of this world. It starts at the physical level. It starts with the mirrors. The mirrors were made out of copper. And it starts with everything that has to do with the mirrors. But where did it come? Where does it bring one to? It brought one to Shechinas Hashem, the Shem Hashem, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shalom b'neihem, Shechinas Shirui b'neihem, the Yud and the Hey. It brings one to Tzavos, his multitudes. And what kind of multitudes? Those multitudes that said, Zeh Keli v'anvehu, that were so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Heimi kiruhu tchilo, they were the first ones to recognize him on the sea. And from here we see a Dovah Nifla, the Gemara brings him a Masechta Seita, that it states that Biskadishtem, the Torah says you shall sanctify yourself. Shleimu bez dinai, tiknu detila shodayim. Shleiman is bez din. So in that, to enact the tila shodayim, that one should wash his hands before eating a meal. Because it says, Vizkadishtem, sanctify yourself, the kiddush of your daim. And the Gemara says, on that, kola eichel lechem belei, the tila shodayim, ki ilaba al isha zona. Whoever comes to eat bread without Netilas Yodayim, this is the same as a person who goes to a harlot. What's one thing have to do with the other? From here we see the Chazal were on spot, perfect. Because a behema, an animal, he eats too. A chaya, the wild game, they eat. The ophis, the birds, they eat also. So I also eat. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, what? Man is the same as an animal, as the aphis Hashemayim, as the birds. It's an absolute that they must eat. For kiyum amin. Otherwise there won't be any sustaining of the population, of the animal population in the world. And then his whole world will crumble. Everything he created, everything has its purpose. But that's a physical eating. When man eats, it begins at the physical level, but it reaches to the heavens. It says, the table of a person is the same as his altar. So he has to prepare himself for it. How does he prepare himself for it? He must first sanctify himself. So therefore the Mosak and the Tila Shodayim, you just don't come and eat. You sanctify yourself, so the whole eating should be sanctified on a higher spiritual level. Begins with the physical, but it must not end there. But what happens if he's a person who, now he doesn't have time to wash his hands. He's in a hurry. He doesn't have time to make hametz. He doesn't have time to bench. He's in a hurry. He's got more important things to do. So 1, 2, 3, he goes, eats. Someone once wrote that the eating of the Western world is the same as a petrol station. See, you drive by, you tell the attendant, I'm in a hurry, fill it up quickly, then you carry on. See? So it's a petrol station. So why is his eating any different than that of an animal? No difference. So then that's the same when it comes to his other relationships. Kilo Baal Isha Zona. That's what the Gemara says. You see the wisdom in that. Now, from here we can understand now why that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he accepted the mirrors, and we understand why he accepted the mirrors, He said the rightful place for them would be in the fountain, where the Kohanim sanctify themselves. Because for sure the mirrors, like he said, like you, Moshe, said, the mirrors were asuin liyetzahara. The mirrors were a strategy from the yetzahara. They're made for vanity, they're made for desires, and so forth. And it's imperative for this world, that Moshe knew. But he said, but what's it got to do in the Mishkan? You bring it into a shul, you wouldn't even bring it into a shul, certainly not into the Mishkan. Malakodesh Baruch Hu said, you're missing the point. If these mirrors were used merely for the Yetzer Hara, then it would be like, call me Sheikh Alechem Alei Netir Sadaib. It would be like someone who eats, like a filling station, a petrol station. You eat, an animal eats. Kilabal Ishazona. Or it'd be like going to an harlot. But these mirrors were utilized properly. They began with the Yetzer Hara, they began with the level of this world. But the Noshim Tzidkoniyos, the righteous women, they utilized it till they came to the highest levels of Zekeli V'Anvehu. This is my God. So what do you mean it doesn't have a place in the Mishkan? And where should its place be? Its place should be by the Kohanim, because that's what the Kohanim have to do. Everything that they did in the Mishkan was to take the very fundamental level of the physical world and bring it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was called Avodasram. That was everything that they did. Everything that the Kohanim did not work at a spiritual level. The Kohanim worked in Eretz Yisrael, which is Kedushas HaOretz, sanctification of the earth. They worked in the Beis HaMikdash, which was Kedushas HaMokom, the sanctification of the place, of the stones. They worked with sacrifices, the korbanis, which was the sanctification of animals. Everything they did was to take the physical level of the world, begin with it, and then bond it with the highest levels. And they had to sanctify themselves first for that. And where did they do that? In the fountain. Let the fountain be made from these mirrors. And therefore we can understand now also why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that from the fountain will bring the shalom, will bring the peace between the wife that is under suspicion. It will prove her innocence in order to return her to her husband. In order that these levels, because the level of adultery, that's the contrary to the Kedusha, to the sanctification. That's the total antithesis of the loyalty and dedication and the Yonah, the dove, that will not even take another mate even after one mate dies. So to reunite that loyalty, to reunite that dedication that brings one to Shekhinas Hashem, the place is from the fountain. One question remains. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow his name to be erased? What's the answer to that? Takes his name, writes it on a parchment, and erases it. Mechikas Hashem. Why? And that the Maral says very astutely. He says that's not erasing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. The name was already erased. Kodesh Baruch Hu placed his name in Ish and Isha.
if you put his yud in ish, and you put his hay in isha, and when there's a good zivug, there's a good marriage, there's an achdus, a unity, that's the writing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. But here machlekes is broken out. There's dissension. There's quarreling. So his name has already been erased. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to rewrite his name. So he says, better my name should be erased on the parchment and be written in the souls of Ish v'Isha. Then there it's erased and my name is written on the parchment. Therefore he took his name, told the Kahanim to write it on the parchment, put it into the waters. That will give the waters a power to purify her, to prove her innocence. Through this they will be reunited and his name will be written. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He's not interested in a name being written on a parchment. People make a mistake. He's interested in the Sefer Torah. He's not interested in the parchment. He's not interested in the Sefer Torah. He's interested in what comes forth of the Sefer Torah. That Klal Yisrael should fulfill the mitzvahs of the Sefer Torah. Then there's something in the Sefer Torah. This we see. Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the tablets. What could be more precious than the tablets? But when Klal Yisrael turned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, broke the tablets. Because the tablets were for Klal Yisrael, the Sefer Torah is for Klal Yisrael. What good is the Shem Hashem being written, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being written on parchment if it's desecrated in people? Therefore he says, let it better be desecrated on the parchment and then it'll be rewritten on people. And that was in the fountain. So that's the story which is behind the Maris. And that's what Rashi tells us. Rashi says, Moshe scorned them. Omele HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kabelu, take them. Ki elu chavivin olai min akol, because they're more precious to me than all. And then Rashi tells us this is why they were made for the key of the Kanai, which will make Sholem bein Ish v'Ishtai. This is the background of the Mares Asher Tzovais, that the copper mirrors, which through these the Noshim Atzidkonias, the righteous women, produced multitudes of Tzavos, multitudes of children for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that became the great generation that went out from Mitzrayim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.